We're gonna go ahead and start, because we said 7:30. I just want to take about a second and give you an introduction here and tell you a little bit about Mr. Pearl, which I'm sure y'all are familiar with. But I first want to thank you personally for coming out tonight. I know it's Friday night. We found out on short notice, so appreciate you coming. As you know, he won Mr. Universe 4 different times. My relationship goes back 12 years when I was first started and getting in this business, and he always took the time to help me, and he's taught me a lot. We're not here to push anybody's program tonight. All we're here to do is share with you what we found to work for us. You take what we share with you, you try it and apply it for yourself, and you will get the results. So I'm going to introduce Bill Pearl to you.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Ray has always been an inspiration to me for numerous reasons. He calls me once or twice a month. Never have I ever gotten on the phone with Ray that I haven't ended up being uplifted in some way or other, because the guy is always up, he's hyper as blazes, and he seems to find something good at everything that ever takes place. Even if it's bad, he turns around and makes it good. And there's no wonder the guy's not a success in his personal life and the business as well, because of the type of an individual he is. So I enjoy Ray a whole lot, and when I was coming, I was a guest speaker this morning at the National Health Food Convention down here in Atlanta, and we've been running a booth all day, and I knew I was going to be tired, but Ray says, "No, Bill, you've got to come talk to my friends. You've got to come share your time with my friends." And I said, "Okay, Raymond, I'll come." And he said, "I promise you'll have a good time," and I have had a good time. But this morning I did a lot of lecturing on the stuff. I got really involved in nutrition and so on to a group of people who are really heavy into it, and I had to get quite technical on some aspects of the thing to keep the people's attention, and tonight I think what we can do, if you don't mind, is if we can kind of turn this thing into a question and answer type thing, I think we're going to have a lot more fun. You can ask me questions about personalities in the sport. I happen to be the head judge for all the professional physique contests throughout the United States and throughout the world. Like next month, I'll travel to Australia for the Mr. Universe down there. When I come back, a week from coming back from Australia, I'll go to Wales, England for some more shows, and over to Belgium. I do all the Grand Prix. I judge the Mr. Olympia contest, so I'm fairly well up with all the major bodybuilders that are making any money in the sport today. I have a degree in nutrition. I've been in the gym business for 35 years. I've authored books and so on, so I have a fairly wide background in the sport. And I don't know that everything I tell you is true, but I can tell you in my heart and soul, I won't kid you. And I will do the best I can to answer any question I can, and I won't pull the stumps out from underneath the person, leave you hanging in the air. If I haven't answered any of your questions to your satisfaction, you think I'm holding something back, if you'll see me after the little seminar we're having, I'll be glad to talk to you or write you a letter or call you, whatever it takes to get you back on the track. Because I'm not here to expel a lot of my philosophy on you and have you try it and then have it not work and say, "Now what do I do? Pearl said that was going to do the job for me, it didn't do, now what do I do?" That's not what I'm here for. I'm here to try to help you get as much out of the sport as I have. And there's nothing that I can tell you that I could have done in my entire lifetime that would bring me back the rewards that I've gotten through bodybuilding. My family, my all my loved ones, my business, and everything that I have is worth 15 cents or more, is directly related to those barbells and dumbbells. So it's a good sport. It'll pay dividends every day you want to partake. It's just like money in the bank. And so I highly recommend it, and anytime I can get a group of people like you together, I'll sit and preach until everybody gets tired and we want to go home. So what we'll do, if anybody has a question, if you do me a favor, just make sure you speak loud enough so everybody in the back can hear it, because if you don't, it gets to be extremely boring, and we'll take off. Yes, sir.
I've seen you for about, I guess, 10 years now, and we've talked before in Orlando and places, but same age. I have to comment on something you said. I started when Ed Corney did. Same age, we're talking about 36, 37. So like you say, the rewards are incredible.
Yes.
Is it my imagination, but in the last 5-6 years, all the old-timers are coming back, and now the sport is really giving up. Well, how am I going with this? The old-timers are starting to make everybody rush into it. I mean, what I'm saying, Ed Corney is now getting more than ever. Fuller's getting tremendous. Dickerson, you know, the guys who are now just in their early 40s.
Well, I think what it's done over the years, people have found bodybuilders, the young people and the older people at the same time, have found out that this is not necessarily a young man's sport. I first won the Mr. America contest when I was 22 years old, and after you win the Mr. America contest and a few other little titles, lo and behold, they say, "Well, guys over the hill, he has nothing else to win, so he should start being a coach or do something else." And then all of a sudden, the sport got a little bit longer. Someone just had to show him it could be done, just to be done. Now, I won my last Mr. Universe contest back in 1971 when I was 41 years old. and it had never been done before. And so all of a sudden I get calls from fellows like Dennis Chinarino, and they'll say, hey, Bill, I'm 35 years old. Now, when do you think you're really your best? And I say, well, when I was about 37, 38. Well, see, I got 3 more years, Bill, to prove to you I can do it. I say, fine, Dennis, get in there and go. So someone has to break the ice. Now Chris is out there showing you this guy is the best there is around today, and the guy's 41 years old. And it's not necessarily a young man's sport. An old guy can get up there and give you guys a run for your dough, so you better watch it. And I can see the day come when there'll be people in their 60s doing the same thing. And I can also see a day in bodybuilding, if you're not careful, and they have the same trend where everybody's getting lighter and lighter and more muscular, and dropping your body weight down to many small contests, that there's going to be some girl on stage next to you, and she's going to beat you. I can see it coming like I can no strain. The day will come when those gals will be in there competing in these male physique contests in women.
Oh, you're saying women are actually outright going to challenge
us? I can see it happening, yes. I really can. It sounds crazy, but just watch and let's see what happens.
Aren't you going to have to, because you initiated a new type of judging, which I saw some when you were on stage in 78, which, can you apply that to women the same way? Aren't you going to have to change some basic rules as far as weight classes and body parts?
Not necessarily. If a woman gets on stage and she can outpull a man, she has as much muscularity as a man does, and she's as equal to define, and has as much symmetry, only she wears her hair a little bit longer and she's got a bra on, what's the difference? It's a physique against a physique, that's it.
Then you're saying the body weight of bodybuilders is going to drop?
If it continues the trend that
it
is,
Dickinson's doing, yeah,
and he's getting lighter and lighter and lighter, more muscular and more muscular and more muscular. I mean, they'll never compete against a fellow like Arnold Schwarzenegger make it. But the small little contests they have around here where they're just going for the hard mass, hardcore muscularity and 3% and 4% body fat and 15 and 16 inch arms, I can see some old big brony broad up there doing a better job than the guy can. I feel it's coming.
Well, are you going to change? I don't mean to dominate this conversation, but as much respect and as much people, and I'm saying what you have a fan, I'm sending regards to Milo Steinberg from
Thank
Orlando.
You.
He's really one of
you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, he is really
Thank
good.
You.
Who still runs 20 miles a
yes,
day, the oldest bodybuilder in this country presently. You're going to have to initiate again some new set of rules? Because you still got guys that want 22-inch arms. I'm speaking about yourself and a few other guys.
Well, I'm not saying, no. Listen, there won't be a contest that will ever be judged on the size of a person's arms. You've got to remember the physique contests, it's an objective type thing. And a judge can only judge on what his eyes see. Now, I'm not saying this is going to be commonplace. But I can tell you, this Bev Francis, this gal from Australia, She's about 165 pounds. She's got about a 15.5, 16-inch arm. She's got thighs that are just as cut as these guys. She's got abdominals like you will not believe. And you take her back in the men's locker room and she can strip down. I swear to God, you just couldn't hardly tell the difference. Now, she's here now. And there's no one says that woman could not enter contest. Now, if there's one Bev Francis around someplace out in the United States or all over this world, there's got to be numerous others. And once they can see they get the publicity out of this thing, and they can't enter a Miss America contest or a Miss Universe contest and do a good job, but they can get on TV by becoming that husky and that massive and so on, I don't doubt that they wouldn't take male hormones or the same thing that a guy does and get just as big and bonny as he possibly can to get the publicity. I'm not saying this is going to take place. I'm saying it's feasibly possible if the sport continues on as it is. Yes, sir?
Could you give me some ways, missing ways to increase the male testosterone level naturally?
Yeah. If you want to improve your, I feel, he asked, could I give him some ways to improve his testosterone level, more so by a natural way of doing this. If a person could do this, and he could become more manly, his chance for muscular growth in the sport of bodybuilding would be a great deal better. I think the more masculine you are, and the more natural testosterone that your body can produce, the more massive you can become. And you can do this through diet, more so than anything, if you want to do it on a natural basis. That's why anabolic steroids will do such a good job on a person. It does it by synthetic means, increase your testosterone, increases your nitrogen level, so consequently, if you exercise, you get more muscle mass. But it can be done to a degree through good eating habits and eating as much natural foods as you can possibly eat and as little processed foods as you can possibly eat. And that's about all a guy can do. Become a very, watch your diet extremely closely and eat as much processed foods as you can and in the raw state that you can possibly get it, the least amount of cooking that you can get on. That'd be the only way.
Any special foods like for your different glands that would be beneficial?
No, there's no particular, you can't say that okra is going to make your liver feel good or
what
something.
About?
See, your glands can only function at such a degree, and as long as you're experiencing optimum health, your glands are functioning like you are. And to increase your testosterone level at a high degree just through nutrition is to be an almost impossibility to do, but it could bring it up to your optimum level. that Mother Nature would produce anyhow.
What about the new gland tablets and things like that?
If you could take all the new gland, your endocrine glands and all your other gland tablets you had, if you took those things by the bottles, it wouldn't do the job for you.
It would just balance, make it...
No, it might help you a little teeny bit, but you have to realize if it did a great deal for you, it'd be under a prescription like an anabolic steroid and have to be bought through the FDA.
What do you think about the anabolic steroids?
He asked what I think
Procon
about...
Procon or...
No, well, I'll tell you exactly what I think about it. He asked what I think about steroids. I don't think that a person who takes anabolic steroids is an immoral person. Okay. I think it's a matter of choice. If you want to subject your body to that type of abuse and you think it's worthwhile, then be my guest. But I think any time along the line that you're putting some foreign substance into your body, you're going to have to pay the price, and somewhere along the line it's going to do some irreparable damage. For example, you can take a little bit of penicillin, a drop of penicillin, not penicillin, excuse me, but polio vaccine, and put it on a sugar cube. You can swallow the sugar cube, and the doctor tell you, you come back now in 7 years, and you take another tube of this little cube of this sugar, and you'll be immune from polio again for another 7 years. I'm not opposed to that at all, but it just tells me that it's taken your body 7 years just to weed out that small amount of polio vaccine that was found on the sugar cube. So if a person's taking large amounts of anabolic steroids, he's taking aspirin every day, he's smoking cigarettes, he's drinking coffee, he's throwing every foreign thing he can possibly imagine into his system, how in God's name can you walk around and think you're healthy? It's impossible. Health is a state of mind. I've seen a guy in my gym, they walked to me one day and they said, how are you doing, Donnie? He says, I feel like $1 million, Bill. The guy dropped over dead, right on the spot. And I said, that is health? The guy was dead.
You didn't say that.
I was never so shocked in my life, and that was the greatest realization of me that could ever imagine. Here a guy comes in to train, I ask him how he felt. He felt great, and the next breath, the man was dead. That's an eye-opener. Yes, sir?
Yeah, what about some of the physique men that you've known that steroids and whatever? Have you known of any side effects or anything you want to tell
well,
them about specifically?
Yeah, they think Tom Sansone, who's a former Mr. America, died from anabolic steroids. Paul Grant, the fellow from Wales, he was just recently on a kidney dialysis machine and nearly passed away. I think his kidneys are back to about 30% functioning now. I know that Dave Draper has been in the hospital from too much anabolic steroids. Pete Gronkowski has. Larry Scott quit the sport because of it. There's a colored kid from up here who's doing really well in the New York area. I can't remember his name now. He too has had problems. So I think I think if anabolic steroids were taken under doctor's supervision and taken as they were prescribed, there may be a place in the sport for the drug itself. But I'm opposed to the abuse. I was in Portland, Oregon last weekend lecturing to some people, and they were going to have an amateur Mr. Oregon contest. And I had little kids coming up and talking to me about taking steroids, and I asked them what they were doing, and they were actually taking more steroids than the top physique stars were in the world today, just to win an amateur Mr. Portland contest. And 99% of those kids had absolutely no potential in the sport at all.
Certainly you've known some physique men that probably have not had problems.
I know 50,000 more that have than don't, because everybody in the sport that I know does anything takes it. So, but I'm just saying there is a chance that you can have a problem. So I'm not sitting here telling you don't do it. I'm just saying if you are doing it and you get in trouble, be man enough to accept what you get for it. Yes, sir?
What are your views about a vegetarian diet? Are you a vegetarian? Or why did you change?
Okay.
Et cetera?
Now, there again, I happen to be a lacto-ovo vegetarian. I don't eat any meat. I don't eat any fish. I don't eat any fowl. I've been a lacto-ovo vegetarian for 15 or 18 years. I don't remember exactly how long. And I never deviate from this, but I don't come out and preach this type of stuff because it's not what I'm here to try to change everybody's philosophies or eating habits. It's just what seems to work best for me. But I say, a lot of guys will say, hey, well, Bill, if you don't eat a lot of red meats and so on, that type of stuff, do you think you can get the muscle mass that you get? And I say, well, I'm 50 years old. I'm still doing pretty well. And they say, do you think that you could have won a Mr. Universe contest if you didn't eat meat? And I said, well, yes, I won two of them. I didn't eat meat. And so I said, well, maybe think of it this way. If you feel that the secret to bodybuilding is how much meat you can consume every day, don't you think the smart thing to do is pull down about 20 or 30 pounds of that stuff on a regular basis? You'll be bigger than anybody walking the streets. So meat is no more than just another substance to put in your body, and what little bit of proteins and carbohydrates and minerals that are there, your body will extract it and use it like it would any other food. But it's definitely not the secret to bodybuilding.
What about when you're in training, what does your diet consist of when you're, for instance, in your last contest? What's Bill Pearl consuming?
Well, I'm going to give an exhibition next month in Australia at the Professional Miss Universe contest. And so I'm as close on my diet now as I will be until I get back from the show. I consume probably two of my morning meal and my afternoon meal will be almost all eggs and some fresh fruit and raw vegetables. And then at evening I'll have some type of meat substitute and another fresh vegetables and maybe a cooked vegetable and some type of juice, or not juice, but fruit like pineapple or cantaloupe or watermelon or honeydew, something like that. And that's exactly about what I eat all the time.
Any problems with cholesterol level with all the eggs?
No, I found out one of the reasons why I became a lacto-ovo vegetarian is because my cholesterol had gotten so high, I had blood that just about ran like syrup. Back when I was about 35 years old, I used to work for North American Rockwell in the aerospace program, and it was my job as a consultant to keep the aerospace, all the astronauts in good shape for their space flights. So they always used to hold me up as examples. You know, everybody got to look like old Pearl. You're going to get up, we're going to show you what to do. So I'd take a treadmill study and so on. They'd come out and see, everybody's got to be like Bill does. So I had a blood test one day, and the doctor called me in the office. He said, Bill, do you have a family doctor? I said, yes, I have a family doctor. He said, I strongly suggest you see this man, and he puts you in the hospital. I said, you got to be kidding, Doc. He says, no. He says, Bill, if you were my patient, I'd actually stick you in the hospital. He said, your uric acid, your blood pressure, your triglycerides are so high that you're a prime candidate for a heart attack. And I said, Doc, you got to be kidding. I've never been felt better in my life. And he says, I'm telling you, this is what you're going to do. So the doctor I had gone to happened to be a Seventh-day Adventist, who I knew very well and had a tremendous amount of respect for it. And he started watching my diet, but getting the red meat out of it and the amount of liver I was taking and the milk and so on I was drinking. And he kept backing me off, and we finally got away from meat altogether. That's how I became a lacto-ovo vegetarian. Yes?
I want to comment. You don't realize, but I ran into you one time. I worked in North American Rock in California. You were one of my first inspirations then. Your first bodybuilder I had seen. You made a suggestion to Chris Dickinson some 15 years ago to lighten up on the milk, a wonderful teenage
right.
So-called drink. That's the first time, my response, because this is a two-part question. The cutting came in, the fatty tissue disappeared. Art Jones, I went to see him in July at his camp, and he says that you may be incompetent, I'm not too sure. He told a bodybuilder who won Mr. Florida that there are certain people who have genes that are genetically stable enough to become, you mentioned your name, Pearl, Chris Dickinson. Then there are thousands who are not wasting their time. Do you believe that philosophy?
Yes, I do. I think that most people who really make a horrendous impact on the sport of bodybuilding, a horrendous impact, such as we'll say Roy Callender, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Lou Ferrigno, perhaps myself, Sergio Oliva and things, I all would classify these guys as genetic freaks. All joking aside, I've seen some of these guys who grow, you can get them in a corner and bounce them up and down on their head and their arms will grow from that. They don't have to worry about routines, systems, sets, whatever it may be. They're going to grow regardless.
But you know what, I asked Oliva, he worked out 7 years ago, and he had been in the contest with you at Miss Universe.
Yes.
And spoke really highly.
Thank you.
The best competition you ever had.
Well, I beat him, so
yeah. but this guy's a champion. Because
I'm just playing. Good.
He said nothing, but he said that you taught him a lesson.
Well, that's fine.
Okay. But he said also that in his case, he didn't feel it was his genetics. He argued with Arnold and Art Jones that he said if it was in your mind that you wanted to go there, which in my case, I was too thin, I was 155, 160 pounds, he said you could get there. And I have done this the last year and a half. It does work. You know, you feel like if you put enough of your mental attitude and get a lot of the surrounding society around out of you, you could get that way and change the rules?
I think if a person had a good mental attitude of what you're going to do, you could perhaps reach your total potential a great deal more. But if you got a guy who is born and is shaped like a pear with narrow shoulders and big old hips, nothing in God's name is going to change this guy's skeletal structure. That's it. And some people just don't have the skeletal structure. I don't care how hard they work. To come out with a type of physique that's selling today. Sergio Oliva happens to have it. He's got a very small head, enormously big arms. He's got big thighs, a small waist. That's what's in vogue in selling today. Now, this other little key, and I like for a guy like Frank Zane, for example, Frank is a more of a sinewy type of physique. But the sport can only handle one Frank Zane. There isn't room in the sport for top physiques, 10 guys who looks like Frank Zane. There's just one. But there's all kinds of room in the top for guys like Arnold Schwarzenegger, the great big massive guys, because it's just like a super heavyweight boxer. They'll always draw a crowd. So I still think, no matter how hard you think about it and how hard you want to become a champion, if you're not blessed with hereditary training facilities, the time, the money to for nutrition, all this type of thing, you just flat won't make it. That's all there is to it. Yes, sir?
You were saying you was training for exhibition. Could you give us some of the diet hints you're using to get rid of your body fat, you know, different fat burners and what have you?
Well, I don't take fat burners and stuff, though. The only health food products that I take is a good multiple B complex vitamin. I take vitamin C and I take vitamin E, and I might take a protein food supplement if I'm on the road not getting enough protein. And what I do, I eliminate as much animal fat and vegetable fat from my diet as I possibly can. That's things like butter, margarine, salad dressings. I consume no fats at all. Of course, I eat no meats at all. And I back off all I can on all the refined sugars. No canned foods, no ketchup, no pastries, nothing. So I eat a lot of complex carbohydrates, which come from fresh fruits and fresh vegetables, raw nuts and whole grains, and a small amount of low-fat dairy products, and that's it, period.
What would you recommend for a guy that wanted to include supplement in that area?
Fat burners are fine, but the fat burners that they're selling on the market today has nothing to do with the adipose tissue at all. Mm-hmm. All it is supposed to do is burn the fat that's in the bloodstream for, like, arteriosclerosis and so on. It has nothing to do with the adipose tissue. So if you're taking fat burners in your diet that you're buying to get rid of adipose fat, you're wasting your money. There's no such animal. You cannot take a pill that's going to burn body fat, unless it's some type of a thyroid. Yes, sir.
Is it possible, getting back to the steroids, is it possible to compete on a national level without taking the steroids, the anabolics?
I don't doubt that there aren't people out there who can do this. I don't doubt this at all. But I personally don't know about anybody on the scene today who can do that. I really don't. I mean, I'm not being rude, and I'm not telling everybody to go out and take steroids. But I'll bet you $100 to a donut that there's just nobody who competed and did anything in the Mr. America contest this year was not heavy on anabolic steroids. One of the biggest tragedies I think I've ever seen in the sport in the last year, when I was over in Manila here last November for the World's Championships, was they had two doctors backstage administering to the contestants as they came off and on stage. Guys were passing out on stage, they'd drag them off and revive them and stick them back out on the stage again. I'm telling you, it was the biggest joke I've ever gone through in my life. And health was the furthest thing from any one of those contestants' minds. They didn't think about anything at all except getting up there and winning that trophy. Health meant nothing, not one thing. And this is a sad state of the affair when it gets to the point where you don't give a damn about anything but winning a lousy trophy or getting your name in a magazine. It's a tragedy.
Have you yourself taken steroids?
Yes, I have. I have taken steroids, but I would not take it at this stage of my life, but I got caught up in the thing like everybody else did. I want to be a champion. I want to be as great as you'll ever be.
Did you take them before the contest, or did you take them all along?
No. I've only taken them in a short period of time. I took them back in 1967 for me, like a 6 or 8 month, or 8 week period, rather, under doctor supervision, like I'm telling you. I got off it, and I have never touched it because I could see that it was just something that I wasn't happy with myself. I didn't feel good about myself, and I said, I will get out of the sport, and I will discontinue to quit training altogether if that's what I've got to subject myself to stay in it. Yes, sir.
What did 6 weeks of steroids do?
Not a whole lot of anything, Doc. Nothing. Nothing to the point where it was really even a noticeable thing to do. But then I started thinking about all the problems that I wanted, and I wanted to continue on in the sport. And I felt if I got on a heavy dosage of anabolic steroids.
The reason I ask this is because I started working out about a year and a half ago. And I went to the doctor and got a blood test, and I have a bottle of anabolic steroids sitting there that I've never touched.
Yes.
And they're, you know, I've had a real conflict.
They're worth more than when you paid for them, so you got a good deal going there.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, I just wondered if a...
No, doctor, I don't think it'd make any difference whatsoever. Not at all. Yes, Ryan.
Bill, do you have to, is it in order to gain muscle weight, is it necessary to consume animal protein, can you just gain muscle weight by only vegetable protein?
The best type of protein a person can ingest is a milk and egg protein. The PER in elk and egg protein is the highest that you can possibly get other than the eggs itself, and about the protein efficiency ratio is just about like mother's milk. So it's about the best that we can consume. So if a person were a meat eater and ate a lot of meats and so on, a milk and egg protein would be a real good product to take. And a soybean type of a product, which is high in proteins too, wouldn't be as good for you because your enzymes couldn't handle the soybeans to give you a lot of gas and so on, so you'd have yourself a problem. But if you were a real vegetarian, the enzymes are geared toward that type of food, and you'd get more out of the protein because of your basic eating habits. Your body is changing all the time to adapt to the lifestyle that you put it into. If you're abusing itself day after day after day, it's doing everything it can to cleanse itself out and get healthy again. And so, and if you change your eating habits, your body will change over accordingly. But it's not a good idea to go say, I'm going to go on a vegetarian diet, and next week you're going to eat nothing but carbohydrates, and next week you're going to eat nothing but proteins. You're throwing your body in such a state of affair, it doesn't know what's happening, and it can actually cause you more harm than if you just step off your old diet and did nothing. Yes, sir?
Would you briefly run down the basic routine for gaining size when you're not totally concerned with, you know, cuts? Sets and reps and exercises for body part. And also, would you run down, like, a diet for gaining? I know she's been talking a lot about diet for cuts. For context, for gaining diet.
If a person wants to gain massive bulk, if I want to get my arms as big as I could possibly get them, I would probably do around 20 sets of triceps and 20 sets of biceps per workout, 3 times per week. That would be around 60 sets of biceps and 60 sets of triceps per week. I would keep the repetitions between 6 and 8, and I'd do all basic movements, like heavy, and where I can handle heavy poundages and handle as heavy weights as I could possibly handle. And then I would take my diet and I would consume anything that had calories in it and just flat eat. And that's the way to do it.
Is there a happy medium where you don't have to get to,
There is to a degree, yes, because you see, the more calories your body, if you consume more calories each day than you burn, your body has no choice but to store it as fat. So if you're consuming 7,200 calories day after day after day, you'll automatically get your, I don't care if you're 5 feet two, you're automatically going to get up to about 230 pounds. If you're over 27, 28 years old, that's where you're going to end up on 7,500 calories per day. Now, if you want to get down to, say, we'll say 2 1/4 or 215 or 210, whatever it is, you've got to decrease those calories accordingly and drop that amount of fuel that your body's consuming, and it will back off accordingly.
What about grams of protein per pound body weight? I've heard 100 different.
Yes. I have done studies with this, again, with the aerospace program, and I have read more on protein than you can shake a stick at. And if you're consuming 0.5 gram of protein per pound of body weight, regardless of how hard you train, that's all you need for repair and growth. That's it. And any more than that will either be stored as fat or you can consume it as fuel if it can be broken down, and that's it. So if guys are taking 400 and 500 grams of protein per day, you're wasting the dough. And you'd be better off to eat Hershey candy bars because it can be digested faster and burn quicker. Yes, sir?
I got a question. And I'm wondering, if you wanted to sell, when you say 20, 30 sets, 8, 10, 15 reps, and Lou Bray is a heavy rep, heavy set man, believer. Have you wondered why people react to, like, you have been in heaven, they haven't gotten off the main street on the Roswell Road?
Say that again. No. You're talking language.
I can't probably understand this.
Okay, you guys do. I don't.
You mentioned sets, and I have no, I have absolutely no, I'm not criticizing anyone, but I believe, like you say, 15, 20 sets, particularly for an arm, you want to get them real big. 8, 10, 15 reps.
Not 15 now. We're getting, I said 6 and 8 now. We've got to clarify this because you're going to get me in trouble.
Yeah, you got a few that will do okay.
Okay.
Do you wonder yourself why people react and it becomes negative? They go, I'm looking like I'm doing 3.
No, I don't.
You have a
no.
way for making people get excited and go, let's go do 15 set?
Yeah, come on down and train with us and see what it takes to become a champion. That's the quickest way to do it. Dr. Isaac, we trained this morning, had a ball. And we had a good 5 o'clock we were down here knocking heads. I got this poor guy out of bed. I mean, he was up late last night, and he's here again today. The guy, but you see, his whole lifestyle is like that. If you want something really badly, you're going to go out and get it. You can kid yourself all you like, and you can sit down and say, yeah, buts don't make progress. And if that's what you want out of this sport, that's exactly what you're going to have. You got to pay your dues. And everybody said, man, I'm going to become a champion. Hell, that's going to be duck soup. Listen, I'm on the road pushing every weekend. I'm someplace throughout the United States. I get 5 or 6 hours sleep at the most every night. My wife doesn't even know who I am. And I've been at this stuff for 35 years, and I still get up and talk to people like you just to continue to promote the sport. It only gets harder every day. It never gets easier.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Well, I was wondering, when you're talking about volume, what do you think of the lower volume, high intensity type of thing that's propounded by Mike and Ray Mincer, where they say that now, theoretically, you can become a champ even if you're not exactly genetic free for like 5 years if you just apply that high intensity type of training.
Okay. Mike Mentzer and Ray Mentzer used to write me when they were young kids back in Pennsylvania when Ray was 9 and Mike was 11. I've known those kids since they were just little teeny kids. They used to write me letters, I'd answer them back, and they'd send me little pictures and all kinds of stuff. I never dreamed they'd end up like they were. But Mike and Ray, too, are genetic freaks. Ray's one of the strongest bodybuilders I have ever seen in my life, and Mike is equally as strong. They have trained heavy all of these years. They must have tendons like the size of my thumb. The guys are just that type of a person. Well, their body can stand that type of abuse because that's the only way they've ever trained. But you can't get someone who's a beginner and push him to that type of training and keep this guy in the sport. You'll kill him. You'll literally cripple this guy. And I can say with all sincerity, Mike and Ray do not train like that year in and year out. They got this idea from a Dr. C.F. Smith, Charlie Smith, who's from this particular area, as an example. Charlie got a big kick one day and a big bug in his can, so he went down and talked to Mike about negative training and the exhaustion, pre-exhaustion before it, and Mike liked it and tried it and wrote a couple articles. The thing took off, and he wrote some more articles and got some booklets and made himself $300,000 or $400,000. But he does not train like that all the time. Seldom ever trains like that.
Because I noticed that Casey Vider seems to be going that same direction, away from the real high intensity and toward the standard type of thing.
Casey's paid his dues a long time ago. The kid had a champion physique when he was 19 years old. The kid matured very, very quickly, but Casey's paid his dues. It's just like having a nice car and getting it cleaned and polished. That doesn't mean you got to spend as much time on it. Just keep the thing wiped off. That's what these guys are doing. Chris Dickerson's physique hasn't changed a great deal in the last 10 years. All the guy does is get in the gym every day and wipes the body off. His physique hasn't changed. Got a little bit more muscular, a little bit less body fat, and that's all the guy's done. His arms are as small as they've ever been. His calves are no bigger. He's just a little bit harder, and that's it. So once you got it, it's just a matter of keeping it. Yes?
Okay, you were saying that you told Chris Dickerson to quit the milk because it's putting fat on
his
body. Now you just said milk and egg protein is the best protein.
But it's a different. Now, it's a milk and egg concentrate. I want you to drink a gallon of milk for the protein. They extract the protein, the amino acids from the milk, and mix it with the protein powder from eggs and so on, and they come up with a real good product, but there's zero fat in it almost altogether. It's about, maybe 92% protein, and the rest is carbohydrates and some liquid, so all the fat's gone. You get heavy from the animal fat. You have to remember there's 9 calories per gram of animal fat and 4 calories per carbohydrate. So anytime you consume any kind of like a pat of butter, you could probably sit down and eat a half a loaf of bread and not do as much damage as you did out of that pat of butter.
But what about your cholesterol level? Is that going to harm your body?
And doing what?
The hardening of the arteries.
Well, your body manufactures cholesterol all the time. If you didn't have cholesterol being manufactured all the time, you'd die. Cholesterol is as essential as anything else. You've got to have cholesterol. Your body manufactures it automatically regardless. There's certain things that you can do, like drink too much, smoke too much, eat too many fats and so on, that will pull your cholesterol so high it could be cause you problems. But there's nothing wrong with having a good balanced cholesterol. There's nothing wrong with it at all. That's
so
as healthy as anything else.
How many eggs a day is a good balanced cholesterol?
I think if a person were to back off on his animal fats, you could consume as many eggs as you could possibly get down on a daily basis and have no trouble with cholesterol at all. I probably consume anywhere from 12 to 20 eggs a day.
How do you cook them?
Any way I can get them, and I eat them any way I can get them down, other than raw. Yes?
Could you give us a little synopsis on last year's Olympics?
Yes?
From your view.
Okay. He asked about the Mr. Olympia, if I give a little bit of a background on it. I normally judge all the professional physique contests, like I said before, because Chris Dickerson had come to our ranch in Oregon, had spent 6 weeks with his training prior to the contest. I didn't think it was fair for guys like Frank Zane or Mike Mentzer or Dennis Chinnerino, all these guys who I'm personal friends with, to sit on the judging panel because I didn't want anybody to think that it was fixed. And if Chris had won, and I had trained with him as a training partner, and everybody would say, well, hell, he's bound to win. Pearl was there as a judge, and he was his training partner. Well, I didn't want that. So I had an opportunity to work with CBS and do the commentary, so luckily I took the CBS job. And so I helped with the selection of the judges. We had picked judges months in advance to go over there. We picked 7 qualified judges to go to Australia. And when they got there, about 8 hours prior to the contest, here comes Arnold. Lo and behold, he's going to enter. Nothing in the rule book says Arnold can enter or Arnold can't enter. He was a past Mr. Olympia. He can enter. It just so happened that 5 of the 7 judges sitting on the panel had some type of a business relationship going with Arnold. Now, that put these guys, like sponsoring protein, for example, having land holdings in Hawaii together, putting on shows together. I mean, It was just a bad deal, a real bad deal. And I'm telling you, Arnold is an opportunist like I have never seen. The guy is a taker, and he definitely is not a giver. And when Arnold saw that this had as much going for me as he felt it was worth the chance or risk to get in the contest, and so he consequently entered the show, and he won. Now, you say, well, then, Bill, it must have been fixed. I say, no, it was not fixed. It's just that I don't think that they can take that type of a judge and put that type of a burden on that guy when he has to sit and talk to this guy on a daily basis. When here this guy was king like Muhammad Ali, and they still have all the utmost respect for him, and the contest was close enough that they said, well, why not? And he won. If I had been a judge, and I would have voted for Boyer Cole, if I had been a judge. And that's who I would have voted as a contestant, as a winner. Yes. And I think the thing that made everybody so upset with Arnold was after it was all over and said and done, he had continued to irritate people all during the show. He got into big Donnybrook with Mike Mitchell backstage and got Mike so bad mad through comments that he and Mike nearly came to blows. He then started picking on Frank Zane to the point where Ben Weider asked Frank Zane a question. He was so rattled he absolutely could not speak. He couldn't utter words. This is like 10 minutes before he going out on stage, mind you. And then when it was all over the contest, Arnold just sit there and he took those guys one by one and literally rubbed their nose in it. And he did that to the judges, the IFBB, Ben, Joe, everybody involved. He totally dominated that whole thing. He came back to the United States and continued on. So the guys got mad and says, well, look, we can't get to Arnold because he's too strong as an individual. So what we'll do, if we can't get to him through his head, we'll get to him through his pocketbook. So we'll just all boycott his next Olympia contest and let the guy go fly a kite. Everybody agreed this is what they're going to do. Everybody signed this big letter, puts in the magazine, I'm not going to enter, I'm not going to enter. You know what's going to happen? They're all going to enter. So the guy went out in the long run. All that rhetoric we went through, all that crap was worth zilch. The guy still won.
You've been in the game so long. Have you not wondered, or have you not seen this 20 years ago? You get a guy like Arnold who, because of his stature's height, and because of the obvious accent, and he physically looks more different than most people in this country. Had you not seen this long time ago, and in your mind, don't you find this whole show a little ridiculous that this guy's not going to be here when in New York big things are happening, big things are happening in London, big things are happening in the Middle West? I mean, isn't the whole thing that magazines are concentrating too much on this little piece, which you could, I'm sure yourself, consider very little minute, nothing.
Yes, you mean Arnold himself now?
Well, I mean,
Arnold still has a horrendous name in the sport. I'm not knocking Arnold for what he's done. He's one of the most dynamic people I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen anybody get on stage or in front of an audience that conducts himself any better than Arnold does. And the guy can absolutely hypnotize a crowd. He can walk out of there thinking this guy should be president of the United States. The guy is a really dynamic individual. And so I can see where he'd be a tremendous use. He makes a lot of movies. He's getting a lot of publicity through the magazine, and he sells thousands of pounds of Weider's protein each month. And as long as he can produce money for the people who are operating these magazines, Arnold will be pushed. When his popularity drops to the point where he can't sell Weider magazines and can't sell Weider's crash gain weight, Weider will pull him out of the magazine.
But you went to contest in 78, and when Ed Corney got on stage and they announced his age, who he was, and the women, like stunning, good-looking women, who literally went crazy, that applause for Ed Corney, where the house completely came down even when you stand there, was that a put-on? Or was that imagining that Arnold Schwarzenegger wasn't even there? Because he was sitting right next to, I guess, down the ropes.
But that's respect for Ed Corney, what he has done for his age, and what he has done as a thing. They were giving Ed Corney the respect that he had. That doesn't necessarily mean that Ed Corney had the best physique up there to win that contest.
He's got some following.
The guy has a tremendous following, but he's a very dynamic guy again, and Ed's a very kind, helpful person, just exactly the opposite of what I would classify as Arnold. Now, Ed's a giver, Arnold's a taker, and so he takes from Ed Corney. Yes.
I just wanted to say, people back here, it took me a year and a half to win. Don't be afraid to ask questions. It would be a long time politician back.
If you keep feeding me, Ray, I'll keep coming. He asked me who I thought was the strongest bodybuilder I've ever trained with. The strongest bodybuilder I've ever trained with was probably Franco Colombo on specific lifts. But the guy that I have seen handle the most weight on all sets and repetitions and all the exercises, even though it was very sloppy movements and so on, was Ray Metzer. I saw Ray Metzer one time over in London, in Germany, last year. They had a Nautilus bicep machine. I think it had 240-pound weight stack on it. And Ray took the thing, he sat down on one arm, he got it, and he goes, boom, like this, and he goes, and you go, and you pull that thing up with one arm. And I said, well, that's good. I'm going to do the thing. So I go over that machine, and Ray goes in to take a shower, and with two arms, I could not curl that damn thing. And I consider myself strong. And so I said, well, the kid's got something going for him somewhere. And all of a sudden, my attitude toward Ray changed tremendously. But I saw this. Yes.
I want to ask two things. You were speaking about eggs. You know, you take consume a lot of eggs. Okay, you know Vince Giron was stand on that about is the closest thing to natural steroids.
Yes.
And I want you to talk about that. And I have your book and the book reference, you know, the books you have. And
yes.
You give me other books besides the ones you have in there to read about nutrition. And I would want to compliment you on that. That's what I like.
I appreciate
reference.
It.
Give me some other place to go besides that book.
There's a lot of references.
Yeah.
I mean, there's hundreds of them. But eggs would be the type of a source where you can because of the amount of protein that happens. Anytime you're ingesting a lot of protein or a good quality protein with a protein efficiency ratio is very high, what you're going to do, and you're exercising very heavy, your body has to produce more nitrogen to keep these two in balance. And the more of this balance you can have, the more protein that you're getting to a degree that your body can utilize for muscular growth, and the nitrogen level being high like that, your chances for success or bigger arms or bigger legs or whatever, bigger muscle size, will come about. And eggs is a good source of this, but so a lot of good things, like raw nuts are good for this type of thing. There's a ton of things I can tell you, but if it would really do the job to do you as much as, we'll say, a prescription of this doctor's steroids, I'm going to tell you no. It won't do it.
Yeah.
You just can't consume that much grub.
Before you talk, give me a list of, a couple of books to read. Could you, it slipped my mind, what did I want? Okay, I stay on a low-fat diet. I'm believing the low-fat diet, too, because you need the carbs to train. What about the fat, all the fat in the eggs? How do you get around that? How do you,
if I were
white of the eggs?
Yes, if I'm getting down to the contest as I am right now, my wife would say scramble meat in a Teflon pan, six or seven eggs, whatever it may be. She would take out four of the yolks and just keep three in there. That takes so we just throw the yolk away. All the fat in the egg is found in the yolk. So just keep backing off on the yolks. Yes, sir.
Could you tell me what body parts you work on? Do you work out 5 days a week, six, or how many days?
I train six.
6 days. What body parts do you work together?
Well, I normally over the years that I've trained, if I had to come up with a definite system of things that I seem to keep falling back in, year after year after year, I work my midsection for about a half hour to 45 minutes every day before I do anything else, like clockwork. I will then do chest, shoulders, and back one day, and the next day I will do arms and legs the following day. I break up the back and I break up the legs because they're the two heaviest muscle groups, and it's not as tiring this way. And I work calves every day, about a half hour of calves every day. So I virtually spend more time on my midsection and my calves than I do any other muscle groups. That's what I do.
Now, how many sets do you do on my chest?
Just like I told you, all joking aside, I'll knock out, today we couldn't do it because we didn't have time, but I'll knock out anywhere from 18 to 20 sets or more. I've done as high as 52 sets of calves per day for year after year after year. And yeah, I mean, all joking aside, I mean, I've done it. And, pardon me? As much weight as I can handle and keep the repetition between 12 and 15, yeah. I think the calves will grow if you torch them and push them hard, they'll grow. Yes, sir, way back there at Pete. Well, I don't know. I think we're using 3 1/4 something today like this. We were playing around with it. But the best bench I've ever done is 450 pounds. But I'm not, at my age, I don't squat 600 pounds anymore. I've squatted 605. I've done seated press behind neck, two reps of 310 pounds. I was probably one of the strongest bodybuilders that they've ever had up until just recently. But I've trained like that. But by the same token, I don't want to injure myself now because I might be lucky and train maybe 18, 20, 30 more years. Who knows? I might make it till I'm 80. And I want this old body to last. And I don't really care anymore how big my arm is as long as it keeps going like this. This is the main thing I want my arm to do. The size isn't that important to me anymore. Yes, sir.
About the use of dumbbells, do you use a lot of dumbbells as opposed to barbells, or does that make any difference to you?
Well, it does, because you want as much variety in your exercising as you can possibly get. And if I had to pick dumbbells over barbells, that's all I had to work with, I would work with dumbbells over barbells. But I think if anybody gets on a training program where you do the same exercise day in and day out, month after month after month, your body becomes so accustomed to what you're doing, you will stop growth altogether. If I were anybody in this room training anywhere 4 or 5 or 6 days per week, I would change my entire training program or 4 or 5 or 6 times per day, every 6 to 8 weeks, I would totally change my training program. Different sets, different reps, get a different goal for yourself. Continually shock yourself and get something new going. Yes, sir.
Bill, You seem to indicate you train each body part three times a
right.
week. Do you think that maybe for the average person, twice a week would be better? Or?
Well, you see, you can't. He asked me what I did.
Yeah.
Now, you have to remember, I'm telling you what I'm doing. Now, and you have to remember, again, like I say, I'm a kook of this stuff. I've been a kook for 35 years. I'm not normal, I admit it. So that's to begin with. There's a lot of guys down here don't have that amount of time. They don't have the drive or the desire I do, nor do they have the genetic backgrounds that I do to train like that. You fellows in here have got to work out the type of a program that suited best for you. And the guy said, well, I've seen a magazine where Arnold Schwarzenegger or so-and-so does this. What do you think? I says, my advice to you on that magazine is take it, look at the pages as far as got the photographs on it, see who you like, and then throw the thing in a trash can. Don't bother to read it because it does nothing but confuse you. Yes, sir. Yes, I do. I really do. I think that a person, anybody who weight trains can draw benefits from the sport. I don't care if you only train a half an hour a day, 3 days a week, you're going to get some benefit from that amount of effort. Anything that gets you up on your rear end and gets you moving and all that TV set, you will get dividends and some form of health from this. But to end up a champion, there's just a select group who are going to make it, and that's it. I don't care how bad you want it, how much you're willing to sacrifice. If you don't have all these things going for you, in my opinion, you're just not going to get it. And it's best to realize this when you're 20, as to waste 3 or 4 or 15 years of your life not working and just working out in the gym trying to get it, and one day realize, you know, the guy was right. I have seen young kids from the time they were 25 or maybe even 20 to 30 take 10 years and not work, do everything they can to stick in the gym and train, and get so discouraged at the end of that period of time they stop the sport because they never got what they wanted, and they're 10 years behind everybody else, and they're gone. That's one of the biggest tragedies you can imagine, and it happens all the time.
Notice any change in your recovery ability as you're getting older?
My recovery ability as far as injuries are concerned is much worse. I don't recover from an injury like I used to. And I don't have any trouble with stamina because I think of my diet is good. But it's injuries that bother me more than anything. If I get hurt, it just seems to go on and on and on. I can't heal it like I used to.
Could you put a number on it, a percentage?
That'd be pretty hard to do. I just know that something on my body aches all the time. So a guy will say, you know, Bill, I got a really bad elbow. What do I do? I say, the best thing to do is go out and hurt your knee. And your elbow will quit. You got a pain just somewhere in your body all the time.
So the recovery time is compared to how it used to be. How much percent is it? 30% longer?
50%? Well, I don't really know. Like I say, I can't really tell because I do everything I can to warm up as much as I possibly can now to prevent injuries like I can. I never walk in a gym and try to curl a 100-pound dumbbell. When I was a kid, I'd do it just to show off. I'd never go down to a squat rack and some guy had 500 pounds walking and try to squat just to prove how strong I was. I wouldn't do that for all the tea in China now. I wouldn't even go near that thing. I wouldn't even think about it. So I've learned a little bit. Not a lot, but some. Yes, sir.
About before a contest, about the use of any kind of diuretic, natural or otherwise, what do you do there?
I think if a person were carrying a lot of water weight and so on, and you want to back off and you could take some form of a natural diuretic, you'd probably be all right. But if you're not careful, you take too much diuretics, you're going to deplete yourself of so many of your electrolytes and minerals, you're going to have so many cramps and so on. That's what's knocking these guys out, like I'm telling you, backstage. It knocks your balance, your electrolyte balance off so badly, and it's going to you're going to drop so much muscle size from this that you're really giving yourself a problem.
Okay, talking about electrolyte, what about taking potassium?
Potassium will help. Yeah, I take potassium all the time. This will help.
Prescription potassium?
Yes, I take prescription potassium.
All the time, or just when you're on a diuretic?
I don't take any diuretics. I won't take them because they rip me up. I can't handle it.
You take potassium anyway.
Right. I still take them, and you'll still get muscle cramps. If you're watching your eating habits as closely as you have to today for what's selling in the sport today, the hardcore muscularity with 3% and 4% body fat, you're really depleting yourself of all these vitamins and minerals anyhow because you're really not consuming enough food to be on a healthy diet. And so even if you were taking diuretics on top of it, you're still subjecting your body to that type of abuse. I don't think 3% or 4% body fat on a male is a healthy diet. It's way too low. Way too low.
Do you take any other mineral supplements besides potassium? If you don't use dairy products, you take
calcium. I do take mineral supplements, yes. Yeah, I take a good natural mineral. Yeah. Yes, sir. Go ahead, I'm sorry, what are you looking for you? Yes.
Do you include running in your... Do you run any?
He asked if I run. I run at times, but I don't run on a steady basis. I think it'd be a good idea if a person wanted to burn calories and consume more food. Running and stuff is good, but I think if you're in a hardcore bodybuilding, I don't think you're going to sit there and run too far, because if you got that much energy left over, you're doing something wrong in your workouts.
What's
Yes.
What do you use to keep your abs in condition? You say you train every day. What exercise?
Okay. He asked what I do to keep my abs in condition, even though I work them every day. This is, might sound interesting, and I'm sure everybody realizes this, but there's no one specific exercise do I do for my abdominals. I do 5 or 6 different abdominal exercises, maybe 100 repetitions each, so, or maybe pick 7 exercises and do 100 repetitions each. But you have to remember, I don't care how much you work your abdominals, if you're carrying fat there, you cannot do sit-ups and burn that fat off your midsection. You cannot spot reduce an area through exercise. All those sit-ups are going to do is you're sitting up there going down, you're burning calories, and that's it, period. And getting a certain amount of muscle tone, then Mother Nature is going to pull that fat off of its, off your body where it wants to, not where you want to. And if you got real heavy, thick obliques, which is normal in most guys, and you think side bends or good mornings are going to do it, and you're not going to change your diet, you're crazy. You'll never get it off of there. I don't care how many side bends you do. You can do them till your eyeballs pop, and it's not going to work. Yes?
Do you adhere to what the leader talks about, tuna fish? Do you like that? Since you're vegetarian, you don't like fish?
I don't eat fish, but I think if a person wanted to get on, have a good food to eat, I would probably have kept fish in my diet if I know now what I knew then. If I had to do it all over again, I would probably kept fish in my diet, but I didn't, so I won't change now.
The reason I'm mentioning is even you have said when Ed Corner gets on stage in his late 40s now, he has a waistline which staggers most people's imagination. I'm saying 5,000-6,000 people in the garden. That's noticeable. The judges have to deal with that immediately with him.
But regardless, that's not due from the tuna fish the guy eats. That has no bearing on it. That's Ed Corning's structure.
No, I know.
And how he handles himself with that.
But I've talked to Joe Nazzaro, who's now coming back to the United States, who has a similar idea compared to Zane. He says when he cuts that diet, he gets into, like you say, the proteins, the low carbohydrates, and tuna fish. His waist, the inches come off.
Yes, they come off. And that's and he will do well in contests because that's the Vogue selling today. But what happens if this Vogue changes? What happens all of a sudden if the whole thing turns around and they want to get huge muscular size again and muscularity and vascularity no longer is important to the people and they go for more of a symmetrical smooth physique like they did 10 or 15 years ago? You see, this sport is changing all the time. Since I've been in the sport for the last 30 years, I can tell you about 5 or 6 different phases this thing has gone through. All of a sudden they wanted Mr. America to look like an all-time tennis player or the guy could do anything. Well, that went along pretty good and then all of a sudden they got to have a 19-inch arm, a little bit smooth, just a little bit of cuts and that got by. And all of a sudden you had to have more mass, a little bit more cuts. And a guy like Frank Zane came along and he was just so skinny he could do nothing but get even skinnier. So that brought a new era. And it goes on and on and on. And now Chris Dickerson comes along. He keeps his body weight real low. He just happens to have a little bit better symmetry than Chris does. So he still can win contests. But this thing is changing all the time. But what it's doing is changing to the point where all you guys out there sitting, and the women too, who are sitting in the audience, every day you're not putting out 100% of the sport, you have just that much less chance of becoming a champion because it's becoming so much more competitive. And if you ever had any idea that you could do it, I tell you, now is the time. If you're going to see, now, like I've talked to Ray. Now, Ray says, I'm 35, Bill. I'm going to start entering the Mr. Pass 40 contest when I'm 40 years old. What do? I said, start on it right now, Ray. Don't wait till you're 39 and a half. You'll never make it.
Ray, I'm 43, so what's your excuse?
If he wants to become like a past Mr. America at 40 years old or past 40, the man should start today because there's guys out here who are not waiting for Ray. I can tell you. Yes, sir, way back there.
What's the way to get better definition on the leg? How do you get bigger?
Keep the repetitions fairly high. Watch your eating habits fairly closely, like we've been talking. Because it will, if your arms, for example, can pump up 3/4 of an inch from doing bicep curls and so on. 16 and a half or 17, can't you imagine how much pump you can get to a thigh that's 28 or 29? It'll pump up just like your arm will. So if you back off and let the pump go away, you will get the blood out of there and you have more chance for more muscularity to show through. And I wouldn't recommend a person doing abdominal exercises we could show before a contest for the same reason as well. Back off in the area and don't work it. Yes, sir.
A big change in your physique in the late 60s and early 70s was in your mid-torso and your muscularity.
Yes.
How'd you do that?
By becoming more aware of my diet, laying off the bonbons, becoming just taking all that I had, the nutrition that I knew and applied to it, and start putting it into use. It was just stupidity on my part.
Mostly nutritional.
I'm sure that it was, yes. I just wasn't watching my eating habits. I'd eat anything and everything I get my hands on.
But you actually put size on your mid.
But I worked my abdominals real heavy, just like I would do a heavy arm work. I did heavy sit-ups with weights, heavy leg raises with weights, heavy side bends with weights, and I purposely went out to thick in my midsection just like it would build an arm, and it'll happen. Yes, sir, way in the back.
There's been a lot written about Rio Blair, Senator Patricia Perkins, and all these champions. Have you ever worked with a person?
Yes, I did. Years and years ago, I did with Rio Blair, yes.
Irving Johnson.
Irving Johnson, yeah. He's from Chicago. He knows me.
Do you think he's a pretty good person?
I think his to begin with, Rio Blair, Irving Johnson, which was his name before he changed it, he's the guy who brought the protein into play. He used to sell soybean protein way back in the real early 40s, late 40s, and Jim Parks, who was a Mr. America in 1952, was one of his proteges who was on his proteins and so on. And he brought this protein to life, and Hoffman took it and all that type thing. But since then, they have shown through different studies and so on that the amount of fats and so on that Rio Blair wants you to take in your diet will not produce a physique that's in vogue today. It might produce a Larry Scott type of physique, which is a big, thick, massive, bulky guy. But when Larry cut up and tried to enter the master, one of the Grand Prix up in Canada last year after being off for a while, the guy was second to last in the contest. So it was really tragic. So I'm saying if you want the old style look like this gentleman was talking up here about massive bulk, Rio Blair's products are fine. And his philosophy is fine. But it's not selling today. That's passé. Yes, sir.
How do you build your strength in your calves?
Build strength in your calves? You mean size or strength now?
Strength.
Well, you can just handle heavy, heavy weights. And the more weight that you handle, the stronger your calves are going to become. Just rather than doing, we'll say, calf raises with 50 pounds, if you're capable of using 150 pounds, you use 150, and the minute you think you use 160, you stick another 10 pounds on there and just keep going up. And you'll get stronger. Yes, sir.
This contest that you're hearing now, Gold Cups in Montreal, in New York, and in Miami, you think that's the new coming wave? The reason I'm saying, because an amateur guy just recently, who was not in that main contest, was asked to appear with him. I'm talking about, I think, Bronston is his name?
Bronston Austin.
Do you think this is a way that amateur guys that are on the sidelines in the International State Olympic will get hooked into it and have a chance to be looked upon more of the judges?
The Gold Cups and turning Austin and Ross to be turn a professional?
Right, Chris Dickinson is in Las Vegas tonight.
Okay.
He's in New York.
Yeah, it's a way for guys to make some money on the sport. But what's going to happen, I think they're going to get so many Grand Prix around here, and there again, there's so few top bodybuilders participating in this Grand Prix circuit that every year for the last 2 years that it's been popular, the same guys have been on stage the same time, the same guys won probably 8 out of 10 of the shows. It turns into such a rhetoric type thing that everybody knows who's going to win the thing before they ever come out on stage, so consequently they can't draw a crowd. And the sponsors don't want to really sponsor the damn thing because they're not getting any publicity for their products. And so I've come up with a conclusion about the only thing they should do to increase these Grand Prix and keep them going, if they can keep them going, is to have an amateur Grand Prix in conjunction with the professional Grand Prix, like the Louisiana Grand Prix, and have all the kids from the Louisiana area who want to compete in the amateur show get involved in the thing and have two separate contests and draw from the local area to keep this professional Grand Prix alive. And I'll tell you, there'll be more people in the audience to see the amateurs than they will the pros. But they're going to have to do some radical change there just to keep the circuit going. They can't draw enough crowds to pay the guys judges' way around the country to judge things. So, like I say, all that glitters is not gold.
I was just wondering about the transition between from a 4-day-a-week workout schedule, something like a 6 days per week, or you know, 6 out of every 8 days, like Zane does, or something like that. What basic time period should you elapse before you do that? I mean, how long have you been working out, basically, before you switch to something a lot more intensive like that?
I don't think it really makes any difference how long you've trained within reason, as long as you have a relatively enough period of time in the sport that you really understand what you're doing and you have the time involved. You could train for 3 or 4 months and train 6 days a week if you so desire. It wouldn't make any difference.
Yeah, the reason I wonder is because like some guys like Tim Belknap, you know, after they've been training 2 weeks, all of a sudden they'll be training six out of every 7 days and they seem to make great gains.
Well, it's not, believe me, it isn't. I think they're probably guys doing a little bit more than just training.
Yeah.
I think the guy's getting all the help he can possibly get. But no one says that more time in the gym is better. If that's the case, we're back to this again. You can't say that if I train like you asked how much I train. I can tell you I can get all I need out of the sport in a lot less than 6 days a week, 3 hours a day in this place, or any place. I don't have to train that much. It just means that I like it, I like the surroundings, I like the people I do, and I use this as my time of the day to do what I so desire. But I'm sure I could be as healthy and as fit as I could possibly be in half that length of time. But I enjoy the sport, and I don't mind being here. But the minute it became a drudgery and I didn't like it, the smart thing to do is back off. And I'll say one thing, anytime a guy's training, I don't care what you're doing, and the minute something negative about what you're doing comes into play, you better get off of it. You can't take anything negative that you're doing in the sport of bodybuilding and turn it into positive results. It won't work. You say, I hate squats, my thighs won't grow. I've done everything in squats and they won't make my thighs grow. I don't know what I can do with my legs, will never grow. You're right, your legs will never grow. You're saying that you've done squats, you've done everything else, your legs won't grow. You're programming yourself every time that your legs won't grow. That's exactly what your body will do. It won't grow. So you've got to say, well, they haven't grown up to now, but 1982, I'm going to get my legs the best condition I possibly can. Change your mental attitude. Keep a positive attitude about everything you do in the sport. Set goals for yourself and put a time limit when you're going to reach that goal, and then go out there and get it, and you will progress. The minute you become stagnant or think bad thoughts, that's exactly what's going to take place to your body or your whole head. Yes, sir.
What I was going to ask you, you know, you were saying by, you know, guys, you're seeing guys 25 and waste 10 years of their life because they weren't aware that they was not genetically fit for the sport. Can you give me guidelines, like maybe body types, as much as you can that you know as far as analyzing your genetic ability?
If a fella has trained for 2 or 3 years and you just really haven't gotten a whole lot out of the sport, and you see some little guy come to the gym and just sail by you like he won't quit, you see it oftentimes in the sport, you got to figure that guy's got more going for him than you do. And so you just got to come to the point that your arms will grow, you're a very, very slow gainer. You don't have the structure, for example, if you had a big head and very narrow shoulders, and you couldn't have had very, very poor calves to begin with, and you were bow-legged, we'll say, or you had a curvature of the spine, something that you were born with, your chance of becoming a champion is nil. Very, very slow, or very, very slight, rather. So you don't want to gear your attitude toward the sport as to becoming a champion. Say, I will do the best I can with what I have and be happy with it. And go out and get yourself a job, take care of your family, take care of your obligations, pay your bills, and become a halfway decent citizen. And use the sport for what it is, a way to keep healthy and fit.
One other thing, I'm a manager of a Future Man gym. I teach a lady exercise class. You can give me some tips and things like that.
Don't touch the ladies.
Yeah.
First thing. Don't put your hands on. Just handle Mikey with your mom or your dad or anybody else. Just take it easy on them.
You said on injuries, in Tampa, probably the greatest leg ever seen on stage was Butcher, right?
Yes.
Okay. I talked to him when I went to Florida, and he says that, just to counter what you said, because I've had this person's experience, you say when you get older, the recovery time for injuries, you find yourself personally that they're harder to, the time to see. Is this in all cases, or is this...
I will think that if you'll take the guys in the room today, some of the old-timers, which I've known for a long, long while, and you ask them, why aren't you pushing as hard today as you were 15 years ago? The guy will say, I got a bad shoulder, I got a bad back, I tore my knee up. On 99 times out of 100, it's some joint problem that's keeping that guy from going out there and knocking himself out. It just caused him some type of a joint problem. They just can't, every time they hit it, it hurts.
Did you find an incredible one, Levi, after some years of being away? Because Art Jones personally said this, he wrote to me, they called his workout this time for the contest in Europe was more intense than it was 6-7 years ago.
Yes, because the sport has increased that much. You got to remember, like I told you before, the sport's not standing still. It's the guys who are pushing it are standing still. The sport is getting better every day, just exactly like I told you. And the type of physique that Sergio Oliva had 7 years ago will not sell today. They would blow him off stage. The guy has got to become as intense about his training as anybody else because he's a competitor like anybody else. So he's got to train harder because that's what it takes to become a champion now.
They interviewed him on TV and he said he's getting more fun out of it now.
Yeah, because the guy's probably more realistic about what he's doing. And it's more of a hobby with the guy now. It's a total way of life.
Are you two ever going to compete against each other again?
I don't think I'd ever compete again. If I was guaranteed to win the contest, I wouldn't do it. If I can't do it, well, I got now one more trophy, I'm going to make a difference one way or the other. And I'd have a lot more personal satisfaction like taking anyone in this room and having you help you reach your potential than me winning another contest. Because I got trophies and trophies, and all I got to do is keep the dust off them, and I can't eat them. I didn't hear the first of your question, excuse me.
A lot of your saying has been mental. You work out. How do you keep yourself mentally?
Because I honestly believe in what I'm telling you is true. Always. I've always had a positive attitude toward the sport, and I love it. And I've loved it since I was a little teeny kid. If you'd asked me when I was 11 years old what I wanted to do, I'd tell you, I want to be a bodybuilder. and I want to get as big and strong and scare as many people as I possibly can. That was my goal. And I still like it today. I don't walk around in bodybuilding t-shirts, and I don't try to show my physique off, but I do like the fact that I can go back to my 30th class reunion and look better than anybody else I graduated from school with. That, to me, makes me feel good. I'm as vain as the next guy. Yes?
Don't you feel the sport itself, though, has helped increase your positive attitude?
Maybe my success in the sport has helped, yes. Because I have carried this over in my business practices. Ray and I have been the health studio business and used to confer back and forth together. And it seemed like everything I get involved in, I go the same way. If I make a commitment, I'll do my absolute best to do the best I possibly can at it. It might take me a long time to make this commitment, but once I've done it, I'll do my absolute best to carry it through as best I can. And I think this is from the sport, yes. I think it's really good mental training for a person. If you have the drive to come to the gym every day and train and train and train and try to improve yourself, believe me, you're going to do a better job outside the doors. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're a better person. Yes, sir.
How has the sport affected your family life as such? I mean, you're obviously on the go a whole lot now.
Yes.
But, I mean, like, spending a lot of hours in the gym and all that. I mean, I know a lot of people say, well, if they were married, they wouldn't spend as much time.
Well, nicely, my wife is up in the gym with me training. All my kids are married off and grown. I have a gym at home and my big barn I have, which is probably half the size, not quite half the size of what you see here, equipped maybe as well as Ray has other than as much Nautilus. It's a big giant toy for me, and I've worked 50 years to get it, and I'm going to enjoy it. And I work on my old cars every day. I have a group of antique automobiles, 14, 15 antique cars. I spend an hour or 2 days in my car, and I train 3 or 4 hours a day, and then I go down and help Dave at the office as much as I like, and then I go home, and that's it. So it is, like I'm telling you, the sport has been good to me, really good to me. And it may not be as good to everybody in the room as it has to me, but I'll guarantee you it will pay dividends in some form or another. Yes, sir?
How much weight do you think you should carry between contests?
At all? You mean...
cut down for a contest and then you have another one in mind, and then you want to bulk up.
Okay. I would think that you should try to stay within 2 or 3 months of being in peak condition at all times if you're interested in competing in physique contest. Never let yourself get out of position where you can't, in a period of 2 or 3 months, get back to the best shape you've ever been in your life. If you gain more weight than that, you're asking for trouble. Yes?
Prior to a competition, would you suggest taking a couple of days off and maybe carving up before the contest and get a good bump?
I would think that you should take a couple of days off. Like if you had a contest on a Saturday, you should probably get your last workout Wednesday.
Right.
But if you've been on a very, very strict diet like most people are today, then you've been on this diet for 6 or 7 months or whatever it may be, 2 days before something that's been so important to you, you totally blow it. What would this do to your mental attitude? It would ruin it. And believe me, I'd much rather wait another 2 days and carbohydrate up after the contest when I did the absolute best I could do, as to 2 days before it's going to go on and do something that really meant to me and blow the whole deal. That'd be like going through college and not going to get your courses. I mean, your diploma.
I asked that thinking that you could get a better pump on
the program. A lot of the food you ingested that particular time would not have even digested by then, let alone go into the muscles for a better pump. Not at all. And you have to remember up there, nobody measures you on stage, nor does anybody weigh you on stage. All the judges can do is view you with their eyes, and what their eyes see, they can pick who they think is the best. And so that doesn't necessarily mean a 19-inch arm is going to win over a 16-inch arm, or your arm is a half an inch bigger. What difference could that make to a judge? It's a total symmetry and proportion is what they're looking for. Yes, sir.
Why does it seem that the taller man on the team
Well, in some instances there has, now they can both go both ways. There's been some tall bodybuilders like Arnold Schwarzenegger's around 6'1". He has done very well. But most, if you look back over the Mr. Americas that they've had, there's been very few Mr. Americas that have been over 6 feet tall. They've been around 5'9", 5'10", and today, your smaller guys, literally, are knocking these guys off. Chris Dickerson's 5'4", Casey DeViator maybe 5'5". Just that they seem to be able to get more symmetry and just better proportions and so on, and more hardcore muscularity. If a person gets too long, like Lou Ferrigno, for example, Lou is one of the biggest men I've ever seen. He's massive, but the guy is gangly. He just does not have the symmetry and proportions or the balance in his physique that other people have. And I think Lou would have a very, very difficult time, regardless of how good a shape he got in, winning a really big, heavy top physique contest today. And he is by far the best big man I've ever seen in my life, other than maybe this fellow, Bill Kazmaier. If he'd gone into bodybuilding, perhaps Kazmaier could have been even better. Yes?
I want to answer that question because I've heard it, and I'm a little person. I'm under 5'8". You personally saw Pierre Van Den Steen in Europe. This man is 5'4" and blew everybody over 6 feet away in the entire world.
Yeah.
He's now 54, 55, am I correct?
I think he's 53.
Does he not have the regarded as the most incredible physique and the most incredible metabolism in the world?
No.
Because a man of his age apparently can cut up and then pump up in the workout.
The guy's from Belgium. They like a small, sinewy type of physique. And Pierre Van Der Steen, again, had that type of physique when I competed with him years and years ago. And all Pierre Van Der Steen has done is cut his fats down and cut his refined sugars down and got more muscular. And he's up there playing games again. But the guy hasn't changed his physique. His structure one iota since he was competing 10 or 15 years ago. He's just turned his physique and turned it around to what's in vogue today, and he happens to be able to sell it.
But they say guys are 6 feet, look at him, and they feel pretty bad.
Would feel pretty bad. Everybody likes to look like this guy. He's winning contests. We all know him. So if you can't win, you'd like to look like this guy.
But
sure.
The short guys are now taking it, right?
They see it happening lately, but that does not necessarily mean this is going to continue on. Arnold beat him last year. I mean, there's a lot of guys coming up. It just happens to be who that has no bearing on it, believe me. There used to be a time like Franco Colombo was crying the blues he doesn't win a contest because he's under 5 feet five or 5 feet six, and he claims that he doesn't get a fair shake. So it seems like the people who gripe the most in contests, the guys who don't win. Yes, sir.
The magazine has been publishing, well, different people coming back out of retirement now that this Arnold did his thing, like Franco. You know, any personal people coming out of retirement for the Olympic, anything like
that? Other than Franco's going to be in the Olympic contest, I guess he's going to be there. And Bertel Fox has come over from England. He's going to compete. I don't think Sergio won't compete because I don't think Sergio get back involved with the IFBB again. I don't think he would let Wieters jack him around as much as he did in the past. And I don't think I don't think it worked.
Let's tell the story of Oliva in the IFBB. What happened then?
There again, Sergio's a very dominating type of a character again. He's a great guy, but Sergio's his own man. He's not going to be pressured or pushed by anybody. And I don't think that the people who are involved with the IFBB could control him as best that they like. they made him a lot of promises money-wise and stuff, which he didn't get. And I think he made so many bad vibes towards these people, the heads of the IFBB, that they would just as soon not have him in his camp. He's too hard to handle.
You're kind of saying the IFBB is not always straight.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that the people involved in the IFBB are two very dominating people, and even though so supposed to be democratic as heck, it's still controlled by a very few handful of people. But I'm not telling you it's crooked. If it were involved, and I saw...
They made promises to Sergio that they didn't keep.
I'm sure they probably did business promises to Sergio they probably did not keep, yes, and this probably bothered him more than anything dollar-wise. But I don't think in any way, shape, or form they ever promised him to win a physique contest, and he did. I tell you, these physique contests are not rigged, believe me, from the bottom of my heart. I can tell you this for sure. Yes, sir?
What's your view of machines versus free weights?
If I had my choice between the two, I would take free weights over machines because of the amount of the versatility involved. But if I had the opportunity to train at a place like Ray's, I would certainly rather train here than I would some YMC that didn't have this equipment. So the more equipment you have around you, the more variety that you have around you, again, the better chance for success that you have. Because anything is going to motivate you to keep you coming to the gym over and over again and give you new goals to shoot for, your chances for success are that much greater. So I think it's great. Yes, Ray?
I don't want to be the bad guy, and I want you to ask a question, but we're going to take five more and try to end this around 9, because I've got to get him up at 5 o'clock in the morning to catch the plane. And we'd love to stay here all night, and we're trying to do our best. But I'd like to get maybe 5 more questions for me and then kind of summarize it since we're going to get out of here.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Do you ever have troubles with joint problems, shoulders, elbows, and so forth?
Yes, I did, and that's another reason why I got off the red meats and so on and became a lacto-ovo vegetarian. When I changed my diet and I got off of this for a long, like a year or two, so I commenced to cleanse my body out, I had less and less joint problems. Now, you're going to remember that all the purines and all the poisons that are found in your system, such as uric acid and so on, which is a continual buildup, is a poison. And if your body could not get rid of it through the kidney and the liver and so on, it'd actually poison you to death and you'd die. So your body commences to take this uric acid and so on, and it will store it in the joints. It's the only place it can go. And I feel this is what caused a lot of the shoulder problems and the elbow problems and the joint problems. But it takes a long time, like I was telling you about that polio vaccine, to start to cleanse your body from this type of thing. It could take you as long as 7 years. So if you were willing to stay on that type of a diet for a period of time, I think you'd probably have less and less joint trouble the longer you're off of red meats, and especially gland meats. I am death against organ meats, such as liver, that type of thing. I think is probably the worst food you can consume, in my opinion. Yes?
How much sleep should a person get?
He asked how much sleep a person should get. You should get as much sleep as which is best for you. Some guys can survive on 4 and 5 hours of sleep, and some guys have to have 7 or 8. So there again, that's a personal thing.
I go to my job, my hours fluctuate, and the policeman comes in, sometimes I have to go into court.
That's bad.
I don't get any sleep.
That's bad news. You pay the price. You should back off your training accordingly. If you haven't had any sleep or something's happened, I would not go out there and try to knock out the type of a workout you would do if things are going right for you. That's the time to take it easy, because that's when you hurt yourself. Yes?
Are you going to be putting out a publication soon? Because you, from the conversation, I take a little longer than myself, personally, against steroids, because teenagers now are taking candy like they never have taken it before.
No, I'm not going to pound
it.
No, I won't pound the bush on A. I'm not going to make a stand on steroids. I'm not going to make a stand on my beliefs. If someone was to ask me on my opinion, I'd tell them. I'm telling you, if you commence to get to the point where you're out pushing any one specific thing and you're going against the grain, there's nobody going to follow you. That's all there is to it. It won't work. You'll just be shoveling sand against the tide. And so if you can't show these people something better to take the place of the anabolic steroids and really prove it, the best thing to do is leave it alone till somebody else can. But I will tell you my own experiences. I'll tell you how I personally feel, and you make up your mind as to what you want to do yourself. Yes, sir. That's okay.
Tell me your objections on fish and chicken. I understand red meat.
Okay, I can tell you my objections on chicken. One, we got off the red meats, we got on chicken. My wife would go down to the store and she'd bring home a nice fryer. She'd break open the leg, there'd be a big old yellow thing on the joint of the chicken. I'll say, what's that? She said, this is from the steroids that they're feeding the chickens. I'll say, well, let's see now. I don't think too much about steroids, so I'm eating this damn piece of chicken here. It's got a hunk of steroid on it like this. I'm going to ingest it. Is it any better? It's just the bad. So it was chock full of steroids. So I said to my wife, let's don't eat any more chicken. She says, okay, fine, it's a good idea. So we started eating nothing but fish. And about that time, the mercury scare comes along. Don't eat fish because of all the mercury. I said, let's just forget the whole deal, and we did, and that's it. So that's how I pulled down. And it's the best form of... That's right. And that is... You know what? Diet is so simple. This thing is so simple, people won't pick it up. It's like religion. They got to have something mystic about this stuff, and it has got to be involved with all around secrets and myths and these little teeny clicky things, or they don't think you got it. Won't work. Everybody got to find out, why can I do it? What am I going wrong at? And it's so simple, they just flat can't pick it up. Every leading physiologist who knows anything about nutrition can sit and tell you exactly what to do, because the guy's got an arm like this, you won't listen to him. But you'll listen to Schwarzenegger, who knows nothing about nutrition at all. In my opinion, yes, cheese. Now, low-fat cottage cheese is good, and there's some low-fat cheeses that are good, but most cheese, in my opinion, is too fat. Yes, sir?
I want to ask you one. The energy level that you have you noticed a big difference since 11, 12 to now?
You mean today?
Yeah.
No, Ray's fed me pretty good. As long as I got fuel in my system, I'm all right. But.
I mean, the energy you have energy.
Yes.
We all can feel that.
Yes.
Obviously. When you were 11, you said you got into
yes.
You want to be big and tough.
Yes.
This energy that you had at 11 and 12, do you have now? Do you have more now or less now or a different form?
Energy. Okay, I have energy for what I want to do. And if I don't like something, I don't have any energy for anything. I do real well at the things that I like doing. I do very poorly at the things I don't like to do. I am lousy around the house. And I'm lousy taking care of your stuff, but I'm really good at taking care of my stuff. So the things that I like, I do a real good job on. The things I don't care about, I do a lousy job.
I got one question here and one there in the room.
Okay.
You got a question.
I was wondering, you consume much vitamin C?
I try to get around 1,000 milligrams of C per day. I get your bioflavonoids and so on as I can. There's no such thing as a natural vitamin C, so forget it. Total vitamin C by itself, you couldn't consume enough rose hips. The pill would be the size of a golf ball. So you can pass that one up. But try to get around 1,000 milligrams per day and then spread it out during the day, because it's a water-based vitamin. And if you don't, if you took all 1,000 milligrams in the morning, by the first time you went to the bathroom, there goes the rest of the vitamin C.
Okay.